I'm going to start again. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him.
You may be seated, please.
We'll just have prayer in just a moment. I'd like to mention that we included this week a prayer list in your bulletin, the first time we've done that in a long time. And I'm just going to pray for all the folks who are not well among us. And please, if you have an additional prayer request, give them to me or my wife through some means of communication. And if you don't know who somebody is on this list, feel free to ask me or someone else who might know so you can pray for them. But I encourage you to use this to pray for all these folks on here. Let's turn to the Lord this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to read and to follow along with the Word of God as it is read. We thank you, Lord, for the parallelism there shown us between Melchizedek and our Savior, the Son of God, and pray you would enlighten our minds more about this as Pastor teaches us from this passage later in a few moments. We pray for that ministry of the Word. Lord, if there are any here who have doubts about the place of the Son of God in their heart or what His place is in regard to all things, that He has been placed as head over all things to the church, that He is the authority over all, that all power has been given to Him in heaven and on earth, if they have not bowed the knee to that, Lord, would they do so this morning, we pray. Give them the disposition to seek after Thee, because we know that none seek after Thee on their own. For the Bible tells us that there is none who seeks after God, no, not even one. And unless the Father draws a man through the power of the Word of God, it is impossible for them to find Him. O Lord, we pray that this will be the case this morning from the ministry of the Word. And now, Lord, we turn our attention to those who are not well among us. We pray for Mrs. Balakovich. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to strengthen her, that she may be able to make the goal of returning home by the 13th or 14th of this month and just a few days from now. And we ask that you'll give her wisdom, Lord, also about her arrangements in the home and what care she needs additional to what she has had before. And we just remember our dear sister. We pray that it may be even next week that we'd be able to share fellowship with her in this meeting, 1 week from today. Our God, we commit that to Thee. Lord, I pray also for our brother Beard, who is not feeling well this morning, and his wife. We pray that Your care would just wrap around them and that they would be able to feel in some tangible sort of way the grace of God that can help them through their difficult time. Lord, I pray for Chuck Cartwright as well, and thank you for this brother being here. Give him strength, Lord, of not only of body, but of mind and spirit, and make him to be a blessing to those that are here. Help them to see in him a testimony of the power of the grace of Christ, who is able to sustain even in things that we do not desire. I pray, Lord, for Brother Jordan and his wife, especially this morning, as she has had to continue to rest. We pray that you'll ease the pains from her body. Lord, these pains that our brother shared with us this morning are not just new. They have been going for years. And Lord, many of us understand these sorts of things. Help us to have compassion and to pray for people who have chronic illnesses, of which many of us don't yet understand the kind of difficulties they entail. And Lord, I pray for my parents-in-law as well, and thank you for their good health of late. We pray that you'll continue this and cause them to be strengthened for the glory of God, and strengthen their hands, Lord, for every good word and every good work. And Lord, I pray for also again for the Jordan family, but for little Russell Maurer and for his parents, that Lord, they all would have wisdom about what to do in his case with this heart problem that he has. We commend him to thee. We pray for our sisters, Miss Pine and Mrs. Pinero as well, Lord, out there in Chelsea again. We miss them dearly. We pray, Lord, that you will just help them to be able to find some measure of comfort and fellowship where they are there. Lord, we thank you for the care that you have provided for them and the help that this assembly has been through the Saxes and others to arrange for them care that is suitable, and that they're in a nice place. We do pray for the Saxes again as well, especially pray for Mrs. Sax, as we mentioned last week, that you'll strengthen her and help her and help this pain that she has in her shoulder. We ask, Lord, that because we know that you can help when it seems impossible through any other means to receive any aid. We pray, Lord, for Mrs. Worthington as well, and thank you for her, and pray that you'll continue to strengthen her as well. Thank you for granting her, by reason of strength, the years that you have, and thank you for her testimony. We pray, Lord, for Dave and Michelle's parents as well, the Yangas. We pray for their health needs and for their particular interest in the ministry in the Philippines. Will you give them a great deal of joy as they see the ministry go on there in that place? We pray for Jennifer Bowerbank and Martha Hall as well, who have completed their regimen of radiation. And now, Lord, they just, I suppose, wait and see when their next checkup will, what it will tell them. Lord, we ask that you will just turn away these rogue cells in their body and cause them to perish for good, and that they would not come back and cause any more difficulties for them. Lord, I pray for Rebecca and for Casey as they expect their child. Lord, in a week or less or more, we do not know. But our God, we pray for a safe delivery. We pray for a whole child who is whole in mind and body and spirit and soul. And that, Lord, this one will just be a great blessing in their family. Thank you for the grandparents as well, who eagerly await to see what will be their portion. And Lord, we just ask you to bless them. We thank you for the blessing that children are. We pray for my wife, who is carrying another little child as well. We ought to, Lord, we, in light of what's going to happen this afternoon, we ought to count these two children in our count in the bulletin, but we often forget to do that. We do believe that their lives, Lord, they are people, and they are fully human. And we ask, Lord, you help us to recognize that and help others as well. Lord, I pray for Michelle Yanga's co-workers that have cancer that she's asked us to pray about. We pray also about Carol Matham and her needs. I want to remember especially also David Nelson's father, who has been diagnosed with cancer now. And Lord, we don't know the outcome, but we know the God of the outcome. And we thank you that, Lord, you can work through this situation and cause ultimate good to come out of it. We pray for the Yoon family, and we ask, Lord, in the midst of his massive stroke, that you'll help his wife, Sonny, to know just what to do. in this case. And Lord, I want to also pray for Danae Vine's father, who has been in a car accident, and pray that you will strengthen his neck, which has been broken, and help them, Lord, to be able to care for him in an appropriate fashion. Lord, we thank you for all these, and I'm sure there are others. Help us, Lord, all of us, to recognize an omission from my prayer or this list does not indicate some kind of secondary status. It just indicates our finiteness and not being able to remember all that we should. And for this, Lord, we commend ourselves to Thee, because Thou know all, and we thank You that Thou dost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We'd like to announce, if you have not noticed on the door as you leave, that this afternoon there's a life chain at the corner of State and Eisenhower from 2 o'clock to 3:30. And if you are willing to take a half an hour or 15 minutes or whatever to go there, it would be much appreciated. There will be hundreds of people gathering there and standing with a placard to oppose abortion, and we need to have our voices made known. I encourage you to go there. I've always gone in the will of the Lord. Last year it was raining, and today we've got a sunshiny day. So if you can go, it would be much appreciated. I also want to tell you that there are some signs on here and on the windows across the way. For Timothy training, we're going to have two sessions every month, and the subjects are listed there for you. It should be a very exciting and wonderful privilege to study God's Word. I encourage you to take advantage of these opportunities in addition to what is already here by attending Sunday school, the morning meeting, the evening meeting, the Wednesday meeting, and the men's meeting. And whatever else is there are mentioned, Brother Matt Postiff has one at his house on Monday nights. There's another one with Lem at Lemieux's apartment on near North Campus. Great opportunities for you to study God's Word. We had a call from a family last week, which was very interesting. They wanted to know what kind of a church we are. And when I mentioned that we study the Bible, and we emphasize expositional studies, they said, well, that's just what we're looking for. So we're looking forward to those people coming into this area and to taking opportunity to be with us. This morning, we want to recognize some folks who are visiting with us. And one young lady especially I thought was quite nice that she just walked in and she saw our door open in the office and she watches, my name's Ruth. That was great. So Ruth, for the life of me, Dunlop, would you please stand and introduce yourself? Yes, you tell them who you are, please. Thank you. Well, you found one. You just stay here. Thank you. I think you said you work for St. Joe, is it? Or the university. All right. Okay. So we just welcome you very much. The lady sitting right next to you is also from the university. She's in the speech therapy department, and I met her there. And right from the word go, it was obvious that she knew the Lord, and I did too. And she promised to come and visit, and so she's here. God bless you, Michelle. Please stand up. I don't know your last name, but what is it?
Simmons.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. And then behind those two ladies are our special friend Beatrice Charleston from Detroit, whom we met in Mombasa many, many years ago. And she has brought a friend of hers with her. Will you stand up, Beatrice, and then introduce your friend, please? Would you stand up, please, Charlotte? Thank you. Very kind. Thank you, God. Thank you. We tried to get them to stay for lunch, but they said they've got to leave and get back to their own church, so they'll get a double header today. That's great. I wonder if we got anybody else on that side. No, I don't think so. And David, I know Brother Pastor Matt prayed for your father, but it's your wife's father, isn't it? Or is it your father? It is your father. What did you learn last weekend, or you have some late word about what's happening in Madras? Tomorrow? All right. All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And Sherwood, I shouldn't take notice of you, but it's nice to have you, my brother. Thank you. I thought you'd be out meeting your mother and dad today. What time do they arrive? They do arrive at 1. You want to get out of here in good time. Okay. Yeah. Sin May and Jeff will be married next Saturday. And I hope that all of you will be there. And if you haven't made arrangements, I don't think it's too late. You don't have to go to their... you have to go to some special office to get in on this deal. At any rate, what did you say, Sidney? Okay. Let's pray for them indeed and be there if it's possible for you to come. And we welcome again a brother whom I mentioned and said his father was Virgil Reeves, but he's a brother. This is Dan Reeves with us again this morning, his wife. Karen, thank you very much for coming. God bless you, dear friends. All right. I think that takes care of everything that's necessary. I think if you didn't sign up for the scripture memory, you'll have to come in the back door and talk to Pastor Matt and his wife. But it's a great opportunity to memorize scripture, and we give you that gracious opportunity. Yeah. All right. The Lord bless you. By the way, I think I should take notice of Olivia Lewis this morning because she had a letter delivered here to Ann Arbor in our church because part of the Iwana program, she had to write a letter to a missionary, and she diligently has done that just like that. And Brother Mesnar responded to her. I think, did she write to the Gosens also? No, just at Brother Mesnar. All right. Well, that's fine. He's very much on tap. By the way, he has sent out for years a gospel tract entitled The Day of Atonement, But No Atonement, written by my father many years ago. He sent 900 copies of that along with a statement by Rabbi Lichtenstein to try to interest Jewish people at this particular time. Shana, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah was this last week. On the 13th, that is this week, there's Yom Kippur, and then 10 days of sorrow before the Lord, ending up with the reading of the Simchat Torah, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. Pray for the Jewish people during these particular days. If you've read any of the news items about what is on the EU agenda, the American agenda, and the world agenda is to get rid of the Jewish people. And it's a very sad commentary. I think people like us in our kind of church who believe the Bible are greatly concerned about these kinds of things. And we can pray. There's not much else we can do, but we can pray and ask the Lord to save his people. They need to be born again. They need to be brought into the family of God. They're not saved just because they're God's chosen people. And so they lost just like everybody else. And so let's pray for them. Thank you so much for your kindness. Now we take an offering, and the way we do it is we receive the offering, and then after the men have received that, they will go back and then come forward again, and we'll have a prayer, and we'll sing the doxology together. With you, brethren, please come now and receive the offerings.
Stand, please. Thank you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all the ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Brother Duane Reed, would you kindly lead us in our prayer of thanksgiving?
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just call to give thanks to Thee, Lord, for the opportunity that we have being here this morning, Lord, amongst believers, Lord, and we praise Your name, Lord. We give thanks, Lord, for these things that You have placed in our hands and our care. We just ask that You may lead us, Lord, as to how we need to administer these funds for Your glory, Lord, to a world that is lost, that the gospel may be given. Lord, we ask all these things in Your Son, Jesus Christ, and thanksgiving.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, friends. Our sister Naomi Poster is going to sing for us before the opportunity for us to sing for the children to go and have their Bible study. God bless you, sister. Thank you.
Riches untold. domain, and he had its ancient sway.
To have music of this sort in this place to glorify the Lord. We went to hear a group of people last night. It's their way of singing. But I thought during the night hours that I can't wait till tomorrow morning when we'll have some good hymns to sing and not a lot of noise and jumping around, but just straightforward, the word of the living God. And I just thank the Lord. Thank you very much, Naomi. That was sweet indeed. We'd like to sing as the children have the opportunity to go out for their studies. And before you go, children, let's stand up and sing, please, hymn number 69. Oh, how I love Jesus. Hymn number 69. Thank you.
There is a name I love to hear.
here. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Tells me of the Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the Savior who loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Tells me what my Father has in store for every day. And though I tread a dark path, and I shine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe. Oh, any sorrow hath a heart that God can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Seated. Thanks for singing so nicely. Since Jeff and Sin May want me to stop at a certain time, I better get started here. Thank you very much. Yeah. We're looking forward to meeting Sin May's parents. Sin May's been staying in our home for a little while, but we don't know when she gets up or comes back home, unless we hear the shower. Yeah, I was going to use the other word. I should. Anyway, the shower. She's been like a little mouse coming in and out, and for the last couple of days, she hasn't been there. It's been rather strange, but because now I can go down and have my shower without checking out things first. But we just are looking forward to what's happening next Saturday with you two dear people. I must say a couple of things that our brother prayed for this morning. Brother Yoon, some of you dear people know him. He was the chief anesthesiologist at St. Joe for a number of years. And he came to this church on a regular basis until he lost contact with the English language. He'd been here about 35 years by now, I guess, but they spoke so much Korean that they never really got around to getting the English language properly. And but in any case, he said he wanted to stay here, but he'd lose the contact. I'd preach, say some word that he didn't know, and by the time he got himself organized as to what the word was, he'd lost the sermon. So they left and went to a Korean church. One of the places where he went was with Dr. Hoseok Won, who is a very fine brother in the Lord and a friend to us. And any case, the thought is that Dr. Yoon and his wife intended to go to the to California and settle there for their retirement at San Diego. And this last week he had a massive stroke, which left him with a hemorrhage in the head. And so while his body is all right, his head is gone. And Sonny's been struggling for days as to what to do.
We talked with her yesterday at quite some length. We talked to Dr. Wan. He's out in Los Angeles on his way. He will probably be with the Yoons right now. But they need a lot of prayer. And the suddenness of something like this is more than most of us can handle. And about Bill Beard, I spoke with Ann yesterday. She said he fell in the bathtub. That was yesterday. And he was barricaded in the bathroom. She couldn't get in. It was a great difficulty to get him up on his feet again. So pray for those dear people. He would love to be here this morning. She calls specifically to say we can't be there because of this. But pray for the Beards that they would have wisdom as to what to do. I said, well, don't you think about going to some retirement home where you could be cared for? And she said, every time I mention that to Bill, he says, no way, I'm staying right here in my own house. Now, it's interesting that his brother, Rod, is on his way to glory also. And he's been cared for at a hospital, but he wanted to go home, so they brought him home. But he's just going home to go home to be with the Lord. So there are lots of people with great needs, my dear friend. And let's pray for them that God in his mercy may satisfy those needs for his glory and praise. And, you know, my sister-in-law was here a few months ago. And her husband sat down after an evening meal, just sat down in the den. And within a half an hour, he's gone to be with the Lord. The suddenness of things like this are just very, very difficult for people. And they would be for you too if your spouse suddenly went home to be with the Lord. We spoke last night with a friend of ours from Enid, Oklahoma. They moved to Oklahoma City. And her husband lingered for years and years with a stroke and then ultimately with cancer. And he went on to be with the Lord this 2 months ago. We spoke with Marie last night, and she was just praising the Lord for his grace towards her. But I don't know, my friend, you may be sitting here this morning who you have a loved one who has gone on to be with the Lord, and the bereftness of that situation, of being alone, that one who was close to you is now gone, and it's not an easy task. It's hard to be born, hard to die, and hard to live in between. But may God give us a hunger to pray for one another and be concerned for one another's great needs before the Lord. And you don't know what's happening with the person sitting right next to you today. But the Lord does know. And that's the wonderful thought that we can have, that God knows what's going to be in next moment or two. Our times are in his hands, Psalm 31:15. And as for God, his way is absolutely perfect. I encourage you on these words from the precious Bible. Yeah. Let's look to the Lord in a prayer, please. Our Father, we thank thee this morning for the privilege to pray. We thank thee that thou hast given us that wonderful privilege. We have access, as the book of Romans chapter 5 says, into thy presence. And the book of Hebrews tells us the same thing also, that we have access. And oh, we thank thee for this, Lord. If we didn't know thee as our Savior, and if we couldn't pray, God, what would we do? I pray again for Sonny Yoon and for Ann Beard and for Gene Balakovich, for some of these dear people who just are at the stage in their lives and their situations, and they just throw up their hands and say, God, help me. Be gracious, we pray, Lord. We have this wonderful privilege this morning to sit here on comfortable chairs and in a lovely auditorium and study the Bible. Help us, Lord, to profit from what we enjoy today and go away from here saying, well, I learned something, and I just thank the Lord for His goodness and grace to me. I pray for Sin May's parents as they're coming on the airplane. Bring them here safely, Lord, and grant to her and to Jeff a happy time with this, these dear ones who don't know the Lord the way we do, and open their eyes, we pray, while they're here to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. God, hear our prayer. Guide us now as we open this portion of the Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
If you have your Bible with you this morning, I wish you'd raise it. Would you? Hit it up. I just heard yesterday about a place where somebody went to, and the man, the pastor asked, raise the Bibles. He said, with five Bibles. That's all. Five Bibles. This is wonderful. This is a Bible church. That's what's important. And this lady said that our family had the five Bibles. There were no other Bibles. That's sad. Well, we were in a church last night that they, it's okay. Everything was printed in the bulletin. You didn't have to have a Bible, because the man never opened the Bible anyway. He just said, this is what you read there, and now I'm going to talk. And he did talk. It was okay, but we study the Bible in this place. And I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm going to do some revising for you quickly. And to save time, I've put it on a piece of paper here, or an overhead, so that we can move quickly. Hebrews chapters 1 through 7. And this is what I'd like to just call to your attention. In South Africa, they say the word revise. And I think in some English countries, they say the word revise when we say review. It's the same idea. Maybe that's a little bit better for you, I hope. Sorry. The first chapter has two major sections to it. Number one, it deals with the person and the work of our Lord Jesus in verses 1 to 3 particularly. You can check this out. We're just going to run quickly through this material. And then from there, it is stated that the Lord Jesus Christ is better than the angels. Then the second chapter deals with the incarnation of our Lord, which is absolutely necessary. Without the incarnation of our Lord, there is absolutely no way by which He could die for our sins. He had to come down. Incarnation. He was incarnated. He became flesh. The Word, the Lord Jesus, became flesh. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then there we have the first warning. The warning of failure to respond to the message of the gospel. I don't know how to say this to you, my friend, but I pass out tracts every week. Whenever I have an opportunity and it seems appropriate, I give a gospel tract. And I have something to say, a person will listen to me. It's not always the case, but you know, you get the impression that why are you bothering me with this stuff? You know, I got my own religion, I've got my own way of doing things. But that's not the case. The case is that how can you survive if you neglect so great salvation? That's Hebrews chapter 2. Then in chapter 3, Christ is better than Moses. But there's also the second warning in chapters 3 and 4. The warning against for disobedience, failure to do what the Lord says. A warning to neglect and a warning of disobedience. This book of Hebrews doesn't leave you alone. It jostles you all the time. Then in the fifth chapter,
Christ is better than Aaron. Now, Aaron was from the tribe of Levi and therefore qualified himself to be the high priest. But the Lord says through the Apostle Paul that the Lord Jesus Christ is better than Aaron. You say, well, why mention the angels? Why mention the Moses? Why mention Aaron? Because you remember that when Paul wrote to the Hebrews, he was writing to Jewish people. And so he garnered his arguments as to why they should continue to believe in the Lord Jesus and stick it out right to the end, because that was their specific background. Angels, Moses, Aaron, that sounds Jewish, see? And it was right there. Now he comes to one of the most important areas, because in chapter 6, he gives us this tremendous warning about slothfulness. Slothfulness. Not really pulling up your socks on being a believer in the Lord Jesus. I've said this before, dear friends, and I don't mean to offend you personally or anybody else, but I do believe that one of the greatest needs amongst believers is to live the life, to walk the talk. I believe that there are lots of people who would accept the Lord, but they see the bad things amongst Christians, the way they live, the way they conduct themselves. I prayed yesterday with Ben Carnes over here. I've known Ben since he was a small boy. When we went to visit in his home, he and his brother Jeremy would run under the tables and into different rooms. But now he's grown up to be a fine young man. But in those days, we wondered what those kids were up to anyway. But I prayed with him yesterday, and he mentioned a need for prayer. Some friends of his, close friends, he said, they have some strange ideas about entertainment. Now, we're not here to judge people, but I just wonder sometimes if what we sang, "Oh, how I love Jesus," or as our sister sang, "Would you rather have Jesus than everything else?" See? And I'm afraid that sometimes the believer has a hard time to answer those kind of questions, because there are priorities which are not really priorities. And that passage in Matthew, which was while the Lord was still here on earth, while the Lord had not established his kingdom, but he says, you want to be part of my kingdom? Then seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else, clothing, food, housing, will be added to you. That was before the cross. Now, the cross is over now. Goodness sake, what are we doing? Do we really count what he did for us? Like we say, oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me? That's a question that we need to answer. And I think the slothfulness there in chapter 6 really grapples with the basics of what needs to be done in our lives. I'd like to take you now, as you have in your notes, to chapter 6 and then move on to chapter 7, please. In chapter 6 of Hebrews, the argument is there, but based upon chapter 5. It goes back to chapter 5 in connection with the food which we eat. Chapter 5, verse 11 to 14. When it says, of whom we have many things to say, verse number 11. The reference is back to Melchizedek in verse number 10. And what I'm suggesting is that the of whom should really be translated, of which ideas about Melchizedek. You can't understand Melchizedek stuff because you're dull of hearing. Verse number 11. Why are they dull of hearing? Because they've been saved. They've known the things of God, but they never grew up. They never matured. And that's what is in verses 12 down to verse 14. Now, strong meat refers to people who've grown up. They've become mature. I was interested that when Gene Balakovich had much trouble with swallowing, they gave her pureed food. It's been difficult for her. She doesn't like that. One of the things that she really wanted was some mashed potatoes and gravy. I thought that was neat. She likes gravy. And yesterday when I was talking to her, she said, you know, they don't know how to give gravy in this place. Well, you know, it's okay. You can feed mash or parade food to, or baby food to some people. But after a while, that you don't want that. You want something better than that. You want to chew on something. And that's what the Lord is saying here in a spiritual way. You have to grow up. And they didn't grow up. Now listen very carefully, my friend. Don't misinterpret me. We do not teach salvation by works, but we do teach salvation by grace, which issues in works. Salvation without the works is dead, James chapter 2. We avoid meticulously and diligently semi-Pelagianism or Pelagianism, both of which are anthropocentric. They center on man. We are against that. We believe in salvation by grace through the work of God alone. But if there's real salvation, there's going to be some fruit to it. Now you listen carefully. This is a very powerful chapter because verses 1 and 2 list 6 items which are okay. Nothing wrong with them. They relate to those people who do believe, but it's not enough. I didn't say that. God does. He says, verse number 1, leave the principles, the rudiments, the basics of the doctrine of Christ, and go on. It's okay to believe these things, but that's not enough. I'm always reminded of our boys. When they wash the car, I'd come out and inspect the car. And they still to this day say, Dad, we could never satisfy you. Well, when I wash my car, I get all the crevices and all the little pieces and stuff. I have learned how to do it and know what my car is supposed to be. I take my car to the washing machine now these days, and the white walls don't come out. I go home and wash the white walls. And I go back and wipe up the places which they didn't clean up nicely. And that's what Paul is saying here. It's okay to believe this stuff, but it's not enough. Go on. And then you get up in verse, and by the way, verse 3 says, we're going to do that. We're going to move forward. Then in verses 4 to 6, he mentions 5 more items which pertain to salvation. No question about it. But it's not enough. How do I know that? From verse number 9, look at it your own self. Beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. We got you, you're back against the wall, and you say, but I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. That's right. But he says, I want to see it. I want the evidence of it in your life. That's why you have these verses in verse number 7 and 8, where the earth drinks in the rain, but it brings forth herbs, and the word for herbs is the word for botany, brings out something that actually happens, and then the blessing of God. There are those, however, who when the rain comes, they bear thorns and briars, and they're rejected. And these are strong words. They're nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. This is terrific. I know it's very easy to say, well,
I think you're very dangerously close to telling us that we're saved by works. Go to James chapter 2. James is a compliment to say, if you've got faith, you've got to have works. It's got to be. You cannot say one and not have the other. Now, may I add, so you don't get the wrong impression, we're not teaching perfectionism. Nobody's perfect but the Lord. But there's going to be evidence of your life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all seen the precious little boy that Matt and Naomi have had brought into their home. And I delight to see the child going in everybody's arms. He doesn't stay away from anybody. He's got his hands out for anybody. And it's very lovely. But you see, he's growing and becoming accommodated. I've been practicing my speech there on him, and yeah. His mother doesn't like that. But I do say, Mama, Mama. And you know, now he's been to see some of his smile come from his face. Yeah. He recognized something that's more familiar instead of yeah. But it's so nice to see him grow, see. And that's fruit that you know there's life in that little child, see. And that's what the Lord's looking for in us, chapter 6. That's why he says in verse number 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and promise inherit the promises. They go all the way on. They do not stop. The warning of neglect, chapter 2, the warning of disobedience in chapters 3 and 4, and the warning of slothfulness in chapter 6. Now you'll notice in verse 13 to 15, he uses the illustration of Abraham. Verse 15 is clear. He obtained the promise. He got right to the end. We use the theological term perseverance. There is the perseverance of the saints. There's God's perseverance for us. He keeps us. He holds us. But there's also the perseverance of the saints. We keep on going. We flag not. I have a great joy of saying to people, I was just asked this last week, how long you been in this town? I said, 42 years. And then I say, I've been married to my wife for 52 years. And then I say, and the wallpaper on our kitchen is still there. It's the same stuff we had when we moved in. And they laugh. And I do too. I say, well, longevity, perseverance. You keep going. You don't just do something and then throw in the towel, see. And I encourage you on these things. This is chapter 6. And what is he talking about? He's talking about Melchizedek. Way from chapter 5. Verse number, 10. And he says, now this stuff about Melchizedek, you've got to grow up if you're going to understand it. And then he puts in this warning before he goes on to talk about Melchizedek. But he brings out Melchizedek at the last of verse number 20 of chapter 6. And he speaks there about this wonderful hope and the way in which God has an anchor for a true child of God. It's inside the veil. And the veil was the division between the holy place and the holy of holies in the tabernacle. He says, inside is where our forerunner has already gone. And we're going to follow after him. He's the one who leads the way. We're going to go in there. A true child of God has no question about his eternal security. He's as secure as he possibly can be, in spite of the warnings, though we thus speak. I don't think anybody who loves the Lord is afraid about warnings. It's only to tell him to get busy. I wrote my doctor's dissertation at Dallas Seminary
on the idea of eternal security. And I studied a lot about John Arminius. I think Arminius would die in his boots the way people misrepresent him, just like people would die in their boots about John Calvin. Arminius was only wanting to say, if you are a true believer, show it. Calvin was saying, on the other side, if you're a true believer, God takes care of you. Now, the two are important. You've got to watch the way you live, but you always say, but God is the one who holds me. You say, I can't understand. It's ambivalent. Well, so be it. Can I give you a Bible verse? In Philippians chapter 2, it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. To will, which means that we will do what He wants us to do, if we're truly born again. My wife has a favorite saying in our home. You set the tone in this house. Oh boy. I said, will you stop blaming me for everything? But there's no truth, because, you know, as Matt was preaching just last Sunday night, that the woman is supposed to be in subject to the husband. He's going to teach the other side that we are to love. And my wife says, yeah, I can submit to anything if it's, I know you love me. See? And so that's the balance. And it's like, saved by grace, but works come out. And you will demonstrate that you're a real child of God. You're saved by grace, and you demonstrate your grace by the way you live. The walk is in line with one's talk. What a tremendous responsibility it is for you and me. I think maybe it's a matter of accountability before the Lord. We are not free. Only God is free. But we have accountability to Him. And what a deep desire it should be, my dear brother and sister, in your life. Not to get saved, but because you are saved. That's all. That's what it is. Now, in chapter 7, verse number 1, this Melchizedek, the demonstrative pronoun tells you who this one is. This particular Melchizedek I'm talking about, from verse number 20 of the previous chapter, this particular Melchizedek. And then he describes him. Now, can I put the description in a parenthesis and tell you what the first three verses tell you? This Melchizedek, then you drop down, please, to verse number 3, at the end of the verse, abides a priest continually. That's what that first three verses are saying. This Melchizedek abides a priest continually. Everything in between is a parenthesis. He's explaining to you about this Melchizedek. But what he's saying, he's making a declaration. This Melchizedek is a priest continually. He abides that way. That's a terrific word. Now, I would like to come back to this, but before I do, give me about 5 minutes, please, to take you to Genesis chapter 14, because that's where we first hear about Melchizedek. You hear about Melchizedek, Genesis 14, Psalm 110, and in the book of Hebrews. That's the only place. There is no genealogy of this man. There's no record of his mother. There's no record of his father. You don't know anything about that man. But we do know he's a man, because Hebrews 7:4 says he was a man. So don't make him a celestial being. Don't make him the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's made after the similitude of the Son of God. No, he's a particular person. And you meet him first in Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. And I'd like just to make this little observation in this chapter. Would you notice in chapter 13, verse number 12, please get this message. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. What a lesson. Please, be careful where you pitch your tent. Be careful where you pitch your tent. That's why you can live it one more day, can't we? I say, be careful about that television. Be careful about your computer. Be careful where you go. As our brother Ben said, the places of entertainment. Be careful. You pitch your tent there, you're going to be in trouble. How do I know? Because the Bible says so. Look at, please, at verse number 12 of chapter 14. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, look what it says, who dwelt in Sodom, instead of pitching his tent towards, he's now living there. You stick your foot into some direction, and the first thing you know, you're living there. And you don't see anything wrong with it. See? It's a dangerous thing. We have three boys. And I remember telling them as they got interested in young women, be careful. Never go out with somebody who you're not prepared to marry. You say, that's bad news. Well, you better know a little bit. Does that person somebody you want to join hands with? I remember our oldest son, whom you all know, John. He met a girl at Wheaton College whom he had known when we were living in Maryland. Her father was a medical doctor, and we were quite friendly with that man. And he didn't know whatever happened to those girls, but he ran across one of them at Wheaton. And so he said, I asked her if she was saved. She said, yes. But what turned him away from her was that her theology was different than his. He said, I know we can't have two different theologies in one home. And it was surprising to us because she's a fine young lady, but I think he made the wise move that it would not be appropriate to find somebody who believed somewhat different in their theology. Be very, very careful where you set your division and then where you settle down. Boy, big time stuff. I don't want to be too sticky on this thing, but when you made your choice of the Lord Jesus Christ and He chose you, you didn't set towards Him. You started to dwell there. Now you're with Him. And what happened? Well, Lot got involved in a fighting situation. The first war that's in your Bible. Right here in Genesis 14. And it happened that there were several kings that were mentioned in chapter 14. And you notice their names. I had Brother George read these a few weeks ago, and he struggled with these words, but he got them out. They're all mentioned in verse number 1. And these fellows are from Shinar, that's Babylon. These fellows had subjugated the ones in verse number 2. And the ones in verse 2 decided they were going to rebel. And so they got a big fight. And it tells you exactly where they fought. In the Vale of Siddim, or places which is the Salt Sea. Now it says that these fellows in verse number 2 had served Chedorlaomer, all these people from Babylon, for 12 years. And they said, we've had enough. We're going to cut the umbilical cord. We're going to run away from you. So they did. And they had a fight. And one of the fellows who was taken away in the fight was Lot. By the way, This is very interesting. In verse number 12, Lot is called Abram's brother's son, that is his nephew. But in verse number 14, Abram said, he's my brother. He got elevated from a nephew to a sibling. Very interesting. And Abram was so interested in Lot, despite, you know, I think a lot of us would say, well, he wanted to go to Sodom, and he finally decided to live with those people. That's his big problem. But instead, Abraham, out of the compassion of his heart, got 318 fellows together and decided to go after and try to catch him back. I don't think that Abram was interested in supporting the rebellious people of chapter 2, of verse number 2. But what he wanted was to get his nephew back. And he got 318 people to go with him. And you notice that some of these people went with him were from a different crowd of people. They were not from his own. These were confederate with Abram. There was the brother of Eshcol and the brother of Aner. So they were probably Canaanites. Very interesting. No wonder at the end of the chapter, Abram says, I don't want your stuff, but you can give it to those fellows. They're Canaanites. They can take it, but I'm not going to take anything from you. I'll expect from the Lord. And in chapter 15, verse 1, the Lord says, I am thy great shield. I will meet your need. What a wonderful word that is. You don't have to go to the world, my friend. God will meet your special needs. But anyway, what happened was that Abram pursued, and if I read my Bible correctly, in verse number 14, he went all the way to Dan. That's right up where Damascus is, way to the north. So he came from the south, probably went 120 miles after these people to bring back his nephew. That's a lot of love and compassion, to go 120 miles to get your nephew. And he's made a big fool of himself with the people of Sodom. And then when he came back, it says in verse number 17, the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of the Kedar Laomer and of the kings that were with him at the Valley of Shava, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High. Please don't say this is the Lord's Supper. There are some people who do that. It has nothing to do with the Lord's Supper. He brought forth this stuff. He says, welcome home. Nice to have you back. But the main thing is that this Melchizedek is the one we've got in chapter 7 of Hebrews. Who was he? I've got to stop. He was a priest, verse number 18, of the Most High God. Will you notice? It's four times in this little section, the Most High God. Verse 18, verse 19, verse 20, and verse number 22, the Most High God. Listen, this is no unusual person. Not a usual person. He was very unusual. His name was unusual. Melech means king, and Tzedek means righteousness. Now, which comes first? The king, or righteousness, or peace, or righteous which? Melech is the king, so he's royal. Tzedek is righteousness. He's a royal person. But he's a man who dealt with righteousness. To go back to to Hebrews, and I close with this, please. This is a little thought I send you away with this morning, with all this other wonderful truth. Hebrews chapter 7. Melech, king. Tzedek, righteousness. But notice in verse number 2. to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness. Wait a minute. May I repeat that? First of all, king of righteousness. Then, after that, also king of Salem. You cannot have peace until you have righteousness. Righteousness comes first. Then you've got peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. You've got to do it that way. And our relationships or whatever with the Lord or with one another. Righteousness first, then you have peace. First of all, he's a righteous one. And he's at peace. Oh, may God help you, my dear brother and sister, to take to heart these wonderful truths. If you say, don't bother me with Melchizedek. I have enough trouble with John 3:16. Listen, grow up, my friend. Put the milk aside. It's all right to have milk, but you got to grow up and get some meat. And this is some of the meat stuff. It gets right down to nitty-gritty where you and I live, and may our life be counted for the Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. Do you? I trust you do. And get hungry for the Word of God, the truth of the Lord. God bless you, dear friend. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we wish we had more time, but the saints have other activities and responsibilities, and we just lovingly pray, Lord, for everyone here this morning. Oh, God, spare us from doing, say, or saying things which would in some way indicate that we haven't given ourselves completely to the one who loved us and washed us in his own precious blood. God help us. I pray for moms and dads here, for those who have children and they long for their children to walk in the things of the Lord. Oh God, have mercy, we pray. And I pray, Father, for our loved ones, many of whom may not be saved. Dear Heavenly Father, may we give a true testimony and be a light in the darkness, that they will turn to the Lord and want to have him just like we have him. Bless our homes, Lord, our places of employment. May we be found faithful to the Lord. Heavenly Father, hear our prayer. May we understand what it means to be righteous before we enjoy the peace of God. And may these truths get hold of our hearts. May we not set our tents towards Sodom and then find ourselves dwelling where there's rebellion against the living God. Oh, Father, we cry out to Thee today. Deal with us. Work with us. Mold us. Fashion us. Do with us as Thou dost please, Lord. None of us is perfect, and we need so much the touch from the Lord Himself. And I pray that Thou would work that out amongst us in Thy living power. Thank Thee, Lord. Thank Thee for allowing us to pray together. We're not like Sonny Yoon with great pain and sorrow in her heart. But Lord, we're here. We've got a life to live by the grace of God. Help us, Lord, to be faithful unto the end. We pray in Jesus' sweet and precious name with much, much thanksgiving. Amen.